Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledyard, one of your esteemed hosts, along with my affable colleague, Dr. Trevor Sikkema. Trevor, how are you, my man? How is your Thursday morning going?
It's going good. We're on the commute up to Tampa to go figure out all sorts of Bucks news for the day, but obviously had to bring the people the good NFL draft word before then, so that's why we're here.
This Thursday edition of Locked On NFL Draft is brought to you by MyBookie.ag. You play, you win, you get paid. Use the promo code Locked On at MyBookie.ag. Trev, we went through the offensive teams that we selected for the first annual college football midseason all draft eligible team 2017 version. First annual ever inaugural college football midseason all draft eligible team 2017 version. And now we're on to the defensive side of the ball. And we'll begin with the edge defender position, I think, because it's my favorite position, Scout. And Ogbonnia Okoronkwo from Oklahoma is who I'm kicking off my rankings with. He, to me, when I've watched Oklahoma play, has just been exceptional. He's been one of the best defensive players, I think, in the country this season. And not only that, but he's going to get comped and kind of thrown into an off-ball linebacker group, but he is a way more polished pass rusher than guys like Tyus Bowser or Hassan Reddick, who we've seen have those explosive athletic profiles, but not really profiles, great edges, because they weren't really refined. They just kind of were fast. And so they kind of got moved off more of an off-the-ball role. I think Bowser does have a little bit more of that athleticism that would denote maybe an edge rusher. But when I watch Okoronkwo, I see a guy that hits inside counters, that reads pass sets, that uses his hands really well. Even though he's a shorter edge rusher and not as big as some edge rushers, he doesn't get bullied or pushed around. He's very low and leveraged, good pad level, hands to chest all the time, keeps his eyes below the opponent's helmet. So I think that when you watch Okoronkwo, you see a very technical football player as well. He's going to get billed probably as this just raw athlete type by guys who haven't really studied him, but I don't think that's Okoronkwo, and I think he's improved considerably every year that he's been at Oklahoma. And speaking of improvements, Bradley Chubb from NC State is my other guy, and I can't tell you how much more explosive he looks this season. He looks like he's trimmed down some as well, which would be huge. I think he was listed at 6'3", 6'4", 275 last year, so he's a big defensive end, but he's moving a lot better this year, I think. That's really what I wanted to see from him. He plays with his hair on fire, extremely physical football player. He's got moves. He'll hit inside counters on you. He's just a kind of a well-rounded pass rusher. That's what you want at the position. I am really even more increasingly higher on Bradley Chubb every time that I watch him.
So we share one similar edge player, Bradley Chubb. It's basically impossible to not put him on a list like this at this point. He's going 100 miles an hour. The motor is always running. And, you know, for me, kind of the same concerns that I had with him going into the year. I wondered, you know, because he's got a very thick body frame. And you like that, you know, because that means he's got some power in there, and that's potential explosiveness and good athleticism if he has it. But there was the worry with those thicker framed guys at how well they bend, just how flexible they can be, just because there's, you know, there's so much dude to move that it sometimes is tough to do. But Bradley Chubb this year seems pretty dang flexible to me. He seems like he can get it around the edge as fast as anybody in college football, and we're seeing that with some sack production. And then my other edge guy, a little bit of a technicality here because he plays interior for Washington State, and that's Hercules Mataafa. He is, undersized for an interior defensive lineman, and you've got to figure that he's going to be an edge or a defensive end going into the NFL. And I'm totally fine with that. I'm totally fine with where he is. As projecting him to an edge player, because his production has been absolutely fantastic, and I think the nation got a chance to look at that when they played USC.
Yeah, I threw in Harold Landry and Uchenna Nwosu, who has a ton of pressures and good pass rush ability for USC this season. I threw in those guys as honorable mentions, and then on the interior defensive line picks, I actually went with Hercules Mataafa on the interior defensive line, and he and Maurice Terfs were my guys, so because that's where he plays. But I think you're absolutely right. He's going to be an edge in the NFL. He's explosive. He's a violent football player. I'm excited to dive in his tape even deeper. I watched Washington State live and was really impressed with him. I want to dive in and really study him because I think he has a lot of really positive high-end traits. And then Maurice Terce is another guy. You would say maybe a little undersized as an interior defensive lineman. I think last year he was listed at like 282 pounds.
He dominated Florida, man.
Oh, my
gosh,
dude.
He dominated Florida.
He's the real deal. I mean, he is so physical and leveraged and powerful, is explosive first step. He's the most exciting interior defensive lineman in the country, in my opinion. And then I also love Derek Nnadi and Jerron Payne as well from Alabama. They're having really good seasons. Didn't even mention Christian Wilkins. And I mean, there's a lot. This looks like a good, in terms of frontline defensive players, this looks like a pretty decent class. And there's been guys emerging at the edge rusher position like Nwosu and Mataafa that have helped that class as well.
Yeah, actually, my interior dudes are one of the ones that you mentioned. Christian Wilkins is in there for me just because, you know, it's hard to, you know, look at a stat sheet or a national thing and try and pick out some guys that are really standing out midseason from the interior defensive line spot. But I mean, Christian Wilkins is still, if you have watched a Clemson game, he is, you know, that whole D-line is just as advertised. It's exactly what you want it to be. And because of that, you know, he's one of the headliners for it. I still think he's easily a top half of the first round pick. He just moves so well for a big man. So he's a guy who you could play inside and out, but I'll take him as an interior defensive lineman on these rankings. And then, you know, not sure if he's exactly better than a lot of the guys that you mentioned, but I want to bring his name up because I want people to at least have him on their radar, and that is Florida's Taven Bryant. And he is an interior, kind of a nose tackle guy with really great jump off the snap. And if you are an interior defensive lineman and you have great anticipation of the snap and just a great reaction off the snap, you are wreaking some havoc in there. Because we all know that when you get good interior pressure, that can blow up all kinds of stuff. You know, you're getting the center as he's backing up, and then all of a sudden he's off balance. You're getting a running back to all of a sudden, like within the first second of him getting the ball, having to reroute his course, and then, you know, hopefully you've got different defense. So interior pressure, when it's very quick like that, can be huge. And every time I watch Florida, Taven Bryant stands out to me in that aspect. I think he needs to get a little bit better at finishing those things. I think that he gets off the snap into his blocks, and he does get some push initially, but I just want to see him, you know, finish that, continue the push, make sure he's getting that disruption off of that great snap jump, because if he can, I really like what I see from him. So I'm just going to put him on here as my second interior defensive lineman, just because I want people to notice him a little
bit. What a homer pick. Oh, my word.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, and we're not done, too. Actually, the rest of it's just Florida people.
Just Florida guys the rest of the way for your team. I have not even seen any of Taven Bryant, so I have to check him out. He is a redshirt junior.
Not a
6'5",
lot of people
292.
Have. So.
Yeah, so I'm glad you mentioned him. Glad you brought him up. Hey, you know, ever since we started this podcast, people have been asking for advice. Usually it's what team to bet on this week. By the way, we'll fill you in on that a little bit more tomorrow during Fan Friday. But people ask, you got Patriots or Steelers, Chicago or Detroit, Philadelphia or Carolina. Tonight, folks, check it out and check out the lines over at mybookie.ag, because where you're betting at is just as important as who you're betting on. MyBookie has been in this business for years, and their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat, you're making money for doing nothing. And they have the fastest payouts just 2 business days. I would only recommend a service to our listeners that's been good to me, those that I know, and lots of other listeners who have sounded off on MyBookie and how much they've enjoyed their product. That's why I'm urging you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay. They have in-game live betting, the most rewarding player perks in the business, and an all-new mobile site that makes wagering on the go a breeze. Make sure you check that out. Join now, and MyBookie will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to activate the offer. That's locked on, no spaces, just locked on to activate the offer. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. Trev, we've had a number of linebackers emerge this season. As I don't know how high they'll go in the draft, but they're having really good 2017 college football seasons. A couple of those guys landed in my honorable mentions, and Jason Kabinda from Penn State and Cameron Smith from USC. Tremaine Edmonds, also from Virginia Tech, been impressed with him. But the guys that I picked to be my three linebackers for our team were Roquan Smith from Georgia, who have probably elevated his stock as much as any defensive player in the country this season. And Josie Jewell from Iowa as well has had a really nice season. I mean, I think there's going to be questions about his limitations for the NFL and how athletic he is and how good he is in coverage. But he's having a great season for Iowa so far. Really instinctive downhill linebacker. And Sean Dion Hamilton as well from Alabama has bounced back from that leg injury that he suffered at the end of last season and had a really, really nice year so far for Alabama. And Rashawn Evans has went down and they've had some other injuries on defense. So Sean Dion Hamilton's had to step up, and SDH has done a really nice job, I think, and he continues to be impressive as a finisher, as a tackler. So those were my three linebackers. But I think there's a number of guys around the country that are starting to catch people's eye. And remember, there's always the typical linebacker, and then there's the new hybrid type of linebacker. Dorian O'Daniel from Clemson is an example. Tremaine Edmonds could be an example. So there's so many different types of linebackers. It seems like teams are favoring just getting athletes on the field these days more than they are truly refined, you know, between the tackles, in the box type linebackers.
Yes, the two of my guys are actually similar to yours, Roquan Smith and Sean Dion Hamilton. I mean, these guys are the prototypical linebackers. I mean, they have kind of everything that you're looking for. You know, the athleticism for the position. They have the instincts to go after the ball. They have the ability to drop back in coverage. Look at tight ends, running backs, whatever it is. These guys, they can be tackling machines. They can be reliable wherever you put them. And so those are two guys that really popped out at me for linebacker. And then, yeah, like you said, that third linebacker spot, there's so many different ways that you could go with you, whether you want like a pass rusher or a Sam guy or like whatever it is. And so, I mean, if we're doing like any kind of third linebacker, I guess I would go with Porter Gustin because he's technically, you know, like a 3-4 outside linebacker. So I don't know if we're kind of like going to pick whatever you want out of a little bag, he would be my third quote-unquote linebacker. But there's so many different ways that you could go with that. And you're right, I think it's shaping up to be a somewhat deep class there with a lot of guys alike.
Yeah, it's a talented group. It's a weird group. I don't feel like there's like the polish and the high-end polish guys, you know, per se, that also have
the athletic traits. There's not a Reuben Foster. Foster, sure. We'll just say that.
Right. Although I'm very interested. I got to get to more Roquan Smith tape because I'm very interested in what he brings to the table. At corner, Denzel Ward from Ohio State has been the most impressive guy that I've watched so far, not just for his physicality and the big hits, which he also committed last year, by the way. He will clock you. He leveled Mark Andrews last season, too. But also because he's been pretty good in coverage. He's been sticky. I think he can continue the trend of another Ohio State guy that has a chance to go in the first round as a defensive back in a year that's perceived as, you know, a down group for Ohio State after all the young graduates they've had the last couple of years. Or I shouldn't say graduates, I guess. The young guys that have graduated on to the NFL. And Adonis Alexander from over at Virginia Tech is my other corner. I think he has a lot of good traits. He hasn't really been tested well a ton this season. He hasn't given up much either. So still very uncertain there. Isaiah Oliver's been a little up and down. He's definitely improved his stock, but he's also had some, you know, he's been beat. He's also made really good plays. So there's been a little bit of both with him. And Carlton Davis from Auburn's really impressed me as well. But another guy that hasn't been tested a whole lot, hasn't given up a whole lot either, though. So I think that the cornerback class is intriguing and has tons of upside. I haven't been blown away by anyone. I know Tavares McFadden, not on my group. He has had some good games. He had some bad games. I don't know that I would say he's elevated his stock, but I don't think he's dropped considerably either. I think he'll still be a guy that a lot of teams covet based on the way that he plays the game. I hope we don't compare him to Derwin James because I don't think he's anything like that. Or not Derwin James, I'm sorry, to Jalen Ramsey because I don't think he's anything really like – I don't think he's – at anywhere close to Ramsey's level right now, but I do think there's some upside there, and he could be another intriguing one. Cornerback was hard for me. There wasn't a whole lot that stood out to me other than Denzel Ward.
I'll go a little outside the box. I'll bring up your boy Duke Dawson.
Ah, my dude.
He is
Florida bias again, but okay.
Yeah, there you go. No, I told you we weren't done with the bias. I like Duke, though, because he is playing right outside corner when the team is in two cornerback looks. And then when they go to nickel, he is the nickel corner. So he's learning, you know, kind of two different positions. He's playing a little bit different, and he's succeeding at a decent level. I will say that there are a couple plays that Duke should have made, you know, like balls that go through hands or he's in the right place and he can come up with the interception. But I mean, you got to think that, hey, he's putting himself in the right situation for all these things. And Duke could easily have two, maybe three more interceptions on the year. They just have either gone through his hands or, you know, there was one last week where it was a tie wide receiver where really Duke probably had the ball. But, you know, he doesn't get the interception because the tie goes to the offense and the tie goes to the receiver. So he's putting himself in the good situations. He's learned two different positions. So I'll just keep him on the list. And then way outside the box, I will throw in a name that I actually liked last year when I was doing the preseason scouting series, when I was working with the Draft Wire and Luke Easterling over there. And that is Dietrich Nichols, who is a cornerback for USF. And I bring him up just because I believe he is tied for third in the nation with three interceptions already. I could be wrong. I'm not sure. Wow. But he was there. He showed a lot of flashes as a sophomore. And even like as a freshman, he showed, you know, willingness to be aggressive in the run. He had a couple of nice plays in coverage. And I really, you know, going into his first draft eligible year last year, I was looking forward to hearing something from him. And I literally just, I never even heard his name. Like, He didn't really do anything to help himself get some national attention. You know, it's harder at USF. Now USF's a little bit better this year. They're getting some national attention. He's kind of higher up on the statistics list. And so I've only seen glimpses of him this year, but he's a guy who I think when I watch him, I'm like, man, you know, he might have some shutdown mentality. He's not like a first round guy, but again, guys on my list because I'd rather them be on your radar than say, you know what, maybe a guy who you might have all heard of that might deserve it a little bit more. So I just wanted to kind of bring his name to the forefront in case there were people out there that had never heard of him. Check him out. He had some traits the last time I really got to look into him, but you know, I'm interested to see what he's got going for him the rest of the year.
You brought my boy Duke Dawson into it, man. Makes me happy because I didn't mention him because I haven't really seen him this year. I've tried to avoid Florida games at all costs. I know that's going to probably hurt your
feelings.
Yeah,
me too, man.
Safety group, man, I honestly have almost nothing to say. I think Minkah Fitzpatrick's been good. I know he's played also in the slot. He's played a little bit everywhere. He has all the traits and polish that I still want. I think I'm still really high on him. Outside of that, I haven't really been impressed with Derwin James. Armani Watts is so up and down. Even within the context of a game, he'll make a splash play, and then he misses a tackle, or then he makes a splash play, and then he gets beaten coverage, or you know, he really struggled in man coverage with his UCLA later in the game, but then he made some splash plays earlier in that game and he got torn apart in the second half. So it's just, there's been, his season has just been all over the map for me, so I'm just not sure how to feel about him. Like I said, Derwin, I don't think has played particularly great either. He's not been horrible or anything, but Quinn Blanding's really just a box safety. He's like a hybrid linebacker type, I almost feel like. I just haven't seen anybody emerge. I know our boy Jonah Tolles did a great piece over at ndtscouting.com on Jordan Whitehead and how he thinks he's basically a better version of Derwin James. But Whitehead was suspended for a while. He hasn't been out there a whole lot. I haven't gotten to see him in all this season. So I trust Jonah. That's a good one, maybe option to throw on the table. But hasn't been a lot of noise so far at the safety position. It's been a really quiet group, especially coming off a strong class last year.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if I were to, you know, pick two myself, it'd be Minkah would be one of them, and then I think Armani Watts would be the other. Armani's in the top 100 and even in the top 50 in a lot of the different categories, interceptions, total tackles, and then I think maybe even tackles for loss for a defensive back, something like that. But the thing with Armani Watts is, you're right, it's like, you know, he'll make the splash play and then he'll make the undisciplined play, but I will say this in his defense. Justin Evans, who was his safety mate last year, who is now playing for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Justin Evans got his first start of the year last week against the Patriots, and he played very well. Really, had his first interception of his career against Tom Brady, which is great, showed good instincts to the ball, and only really whiffed on one tackle. And we kind of asked him about it this week, and he's like, yeah, I mean, when I was at Texas A&M, they just wanted me to go a million miles an hour, and I did, and I made a lot of good plays, but, you know, I missed a lot of plays too. He's like, now I get into the NFL, and they kind of teach you more how to control what you're doing. So if that's the case, and that's the case here with Armani Watts too, then I've got some, you know, there's some promise with Armani Watts. If he gets to the NFL and he gets the right coaching and people tell him to calm down and use his athleticism in the correct spots rather than just going a million miles an hour and missing guys when he doesn't have to, you know, then we're talking about a guy who has decent college production and good athleticism and, you know, he'll be able to hone it someday. So those would be my safeties.
Yeah, it's not a super deep class right now. You almost have to go with guys that show you a little upside, maybe, and you know, and have at least some traits that you're looking for. I talked about Brandon Bryant, the beginning of the year from over Mississippi State, and there's been some other names thrown out there by different people. The Marcus Allen over at Penn State as well has been another one thrown out. So we'll see how it shakes out. The safety class still a lot, I think, to show us so far. But this edition of Locked On NFL Draft brought to you by MyBookie.ag. Get into all the action with MyBookie.ag, where they will match your deposit with up to a 100% bonus. Use that promo code Locked On, and even check out tonight's game, Eagles Panthers. The live in-game betting might be a good option for you as well. Should be a fun one tonight. We'll be back tomorrow, Fan Friday. We give you all the lines from over at MyBookie and what we think is the way that you should spend your cheese this weekend. Also, we'll be back earlier next week, and we'll be breaking down the matchups from this past weekend, both college football and NFL Sunday, as we always do, bringing you fire content like we always do here on Locked On NFL Draft. So until next time and over the weekend, keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.